This morning and turn to the 18th chapter of Luke. I begin reading in verse 18. Luke 18:18. This is one of the encounters that Jesus had with a particular young man who was living a good moral life. He was keeping the commandments of God. Actually, he felt as though he had always kept the Ten Commandments. But keeping the moral law is not good enough. The man knew, though, that there was a vacuum, that there was a void in his heart. In spite of the fact that he was doing many good works, in spite of the fact that he was morally pure or good, in spite of the fact that he was keeping the Ten Commandments, the law that was given at Mount Sinai, there was something missing from his life. Amen. He knew deep down that he wasn't ready for death. He even asked Jesus the question in our reading lesson. As we begin reading, you'll notice there that he wanted eternal life. He wanted to know how he could obtain, how he could inherit eternal life. He wanted to know what was missing, what was lacking, that he might be sure that he was saved. You may be one of those individuals here this morning that's just like this young rich ruler. Something missing. You're trying to do right by people and trying to do good in the world, but you know deep down that something is missing in your heart. Something's lacking. I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus is the answer. This young man went to the Lord and said, in verse 18, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, or said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Yet lackest thou one thing. In other words, he was telling him there's something, one thing lacking, one thing missing, where he can know that he was saved and have eternal life. He said, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Notice what Jesus said. He said, it's hard for those that have a lot to give up to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, now here's the disciples, they heard Jesus say how difficult it was for somebody to be saved, that it was like a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle, and that's what actually the Greek means, going through a sewing needle. I know there are some that have supposed that this means some gate at Jerusalem where a camel would have to unload and kneel down and go through, but that's not what the Scriptures teach. For actually, if you continue to read in these passages of Scripture, he tells them very clearly when they ask the question, they knew what he was meaning. For a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle, they realized that this was an impossibility. And they said, then who can be saved? Jesus clearly told them, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Amen. Amen. It's not that you can be saved by your own impressions or your own will or your own desires or your own sacrifices. You must be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Through His merit, through His work, through what He did on the cross. So the question is asked by the disciples in their astonishment. If this is what it takes for somebody to be saved, if it's that hard, that difficult, so difficult for a rich man that is similar to a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle, then how can anybody be saved? I think Peter put it clearly in one of his writings. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what about the sinners? And so the question is put before you this morning. Who then can be saved? How can there be such a profound difficulty in someone being saved? Isn't salvation free? Doesn't the Bible teach us that it is a gift of God? Doesn't the Scriptures teach us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost and it's available to all people and it's free? It sure does. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Then let's examine something. Let's ask ourselves the question. Then wherein is the difficulty? Why did Jesus say in this particular passage of Scripture that it's like a camel going through the eye of a needle? The disciples said, who can be saved if it's that hard? And if the Scriptures do teach that a person can come and drink of the water of life freely, and that's what it teaches, the Bible says, whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are we going to harmonize what Jesus taught us here in these passages of Scripture with those other passages of Scripture that seem to make salvation so simple? Why is salvation impossible? It's only impossible for us to do on our own accord and in our own ability. Amen. You cannot save yourself. Amen. It's impossible because we need the aid and the help and the grace and the power of God in order for us to be saved. Anybody that says that they've been saved separate and apart from the power and presence of God, His grace and His mercy and His power, I don't believe they've really been to the fountain and drank of the living water. But we have a whole host of people in our society today that have made salvation simple because they're simply doing it themselves. And any of us that have really been saved and know about the experience of everlasting life that we receive when the believing application of the blood of Jesus is applied to our heart, we know that with us it was impossible. Amen. This is a work that God does in the soul. If you ever really get saved, it'll be something that He does to you on the inside. It's a work of grace that happens deep down in our souls. And each one of us can relate to what Jesus was saying in these passages of Scripture. We realize that without God's help, unless there's a creation moment to take place in our hearts and in our lives, then we are not going to make heaven. There must be a cross encounter. There must be a camel experience in your heart and life, or you are not saved by the grace of God. Amen? Now, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 that in the same way that when God spoke light out of darkness, when He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that same power that was demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1, where He spoke light into this world, there's a similar experience that takes place deep inside of our hearts where He declares light or shines light in our hearts where the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is demonstrated and experienced through the face of Jesus Christ. deep down in our souls. This change, this creation moment. Everybody must have a creation moment. When we're talking about preacher, oh, well, you have a change. Amen. Well, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You must be born again. Several years ago, I was in Memphis laboring and pastoring a church and became friends with a fellow, and he was extremely smart. He had studied the scriptures. He was a moral man. He was a religious man. And he was doing good deeds and good works and keeping the law. And he was much like the rich young ruler. And I began to talk with him. And he told me about all the things that he did and how that he attended church and how that he was very eager to do everything that the scriptures taught. And I asked him, I said, Bill, have you been born again? He said, yeah, I was baptized. And I said, Bill, that's not good enough. So what are you going to do with John 3:8? Well, the Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit of God. I said, when did that happen to you? He looked me in the eyes and said, I don't know that it ever has. And I said, Bill, if you don't experience that, you will not make heaven. And I walked away and I started praying for Bill. See, because I knew that it would take the power of God for Bill to get saved. Him being a Pharisee of Pharisees, him being religious, him knowing the scriptures and trying to live morally was not good enough. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You can't enter heaven or the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Well, a few weeks went by and he called me up and said, you've got to come over here. I got to talk to you. I went over to Bill's house. And I walked in. I'll never forget. I walked in to his office. He said, it happened to me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, right over there. He said, underneath that table, it happened to me. What happened to you, Bill? He said, I was born again of the Spirit of God. Listen, you have to have a creation moment. You've got to have a camel moment. You've got to have a time and a place in your life where you're born again of the Spirit of God, where you become a child of God, amen, an heir to God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You must have a time and a place where you're saved by the grace of God. You got to have a place where something happens deep down in your heart. Now, I know there's a lot of people. They say as long as you unload the camel, as long as you get the camel to kneel down, and you drag it through that gate of Jerusalem, that's good enough. And they're dragging them down the aisles, left and right, reading them the Roman road, and they're pronouncing them saved. But I'm telling you, they've got to be born again of the power of God, or they won't make heaven. That just doesn't work for me, just telling a person they're saved or reading them scripture. Jesus said it didn't work for him, and it won't work for you. That's why many of the great professors of our day, those that are presidents of seminaries, are declaring that 97% of, or 90 some odd percent of Southern Baptists are lost. It's because that they have given them a cheap bill of goods. They told them that they're saved, and there's not been an experience of grace in their heart. Jesus said a camel has to go through the eye of a needle. And only God can do that. Put two things in one place. Only God can do it. You need a divine work of grace upon your heart. A counselor will not do it. You need God's presence, His power to do it. See, there has to be a collision of your will and God's will, where your will and God's will become one. Now, that requires your surrenderance. I will concede that, yeah, you've got to surrender yourself. You've got to yield yourself. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to trust. You have to have faith. You have to surrender and yield your heart to God. But you can't do that without God's help. Even repentance and faith and anything and everything that we do, whether we're calling upon the Lord or crying to the Lord or praying or bowing down, we can't do it without God's grace being all over it. Because salvation is wholly and completely of grace. You don't deserve it. All right, so who can be saved? Well, I don't believe there's any limit to the power of God. I don't believe there's any limit to God's saving. There's no limit if He's God. If He's really the Almighty, He has no boundaries. He has no limits. What's impossible for man is possible with God. God can make two things fit in one space. He can change your heart. He can change your will. He can conform your life to the life of Jesus Christ. He can do that. I believe He wants to do that. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. The Bible says in Isaiah 45 and 22, He said, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none other." The Bible clearly tells us that He wants to save. All the improbabilities and impossibilities are made possible through God. You know what? If you'll look to Jesus today, you won't perish. I mean, as Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and the Son of Man is lifted up in the gospel, they looked and they lived. You can look to Jesus today and be saved. You may have come here lost, but you can leave saved by the blood of Jesus. Is that possible? Well, it's not possible with us, but it's possible with God. Amen. Impossible with us, but it is possible with God. You may be like the prodigal son. You've been in the mire long enough. You've been feeding with the swines long enough. And you need to come to your senses and you need to arise and go to the Father's house. He's standing there with His arms outstretched. Amen. He will receive you back into His home. Just like the prodigal was received. A few years ago, there was a fire that broke out in a house on a narrow street. The flames very quickly leaped high, and there was a man that was in the window in the upstairs. And when the firemen arrived, they hoisted the ladder up to the window and they said, "Come on down." He said, he was standing there in his pajamas. And he said, "No, I'm going to change first." And the firemen began to cry out, "Come as you are." He said, no, I'm going to change first. The firemen began to cry out louder and louder, "Come as you are, come down the ladder." And they started to try to scurry up the ladder, but the flames were too hot. By the time they got to the top of the window, it was too late. The ceiling had collapsed. The man perished in the ruins. Whatever your status or situation or circumstance today, you need to come as you are.
Amen.
If you're young, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that you need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil day comes. If you're young and you're lost, you need to come right now. Come to Jesus Christ. Come as you are. You've heard the gospel. You know you're lost. You know you're in need of Jesus. You need to come to Him today. while you have time and opportunity. Those that are young, they also have to have a camel moment. Those that are young, they still have to have the grace of God worked in their hearts. They too are not good like this rich young ruler. They too are sinners. They too have the nature of Adam. They too are depraved. They too are sinners and lost and in need of the blood of Jesus upon their hearts in order to go to heaven. They may not have committed any hideous sins, but it's not the sins that they committed, it's the sins that are upon them because of who they are. Amen. And you have to come as a sinner in order to be saved. If you're young, you need to come to the Lord. You can be saved today by the love of Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's one thing lacking in your life. You know there's one thing lacking. You're young. You've been coming to this church. You've heard the gospel. But you know that there's something missing. And you know that thing that's missing is the saving grace of God. Come as you are. Come as a sinner and find help and relief. Do you think it's possible that there can be one thing keeping a person from being saved? One thing. I remember when I got saved. I know what that one thing was. I could have been saved the very night the Lord first dealt with me. See, I believe the Holy Spirit deals with people when they're lost. And I was in a station wagon on 65 coming back from either coming from or going to Kentucky late one night. And the Lord dealt with my heart. It's when I first realized I was accountable for my sins, that I was a sinner and on my way to hell. And I could have been saved in that automobile that night. Could have been. But there was one thing that was keeping me lost, separated from God. And the Lord showed it to me real clear that night. There could be one thing this morning that's keeping you from heaven. One thing. I don't know what that is for you, but God does. And He knows how to make it just as clear to you as He made it to the rich young ruler. He can show you, and you might be at a crossroads this morning. It's possible this morning that somebody is here and they are at a crossroads. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you and showing you and helping you and making it as easy as it could possibly be for anyone to find the Lord. But if you don't work with God, you'll never be saved. If you don't submit when He's working with you, you can't find the Lord. Listen, you can't get saved anytime you want to. Amen? Amen? Why? Because with you and me, it's impossible. You've got to have the help of God. You've got to have Him helping you, dealing with you, working with you, drawing you. Jesus said nobody can come to the Father except there's a Spirit that draws them. There has to be a drawing to take place. And when that drawing is taking place in your heart, you need to respond to it. If you don't move the moment God's grace is present and real and assisting you, your repenting and believing won't meet the criteria of Scripture and enable you to step into the pearly gates of heaven. Young people, who can be saved? Young people can be saved. What about old people? I like the parable that Jesus taught in the 20th chapter of Matthew. Have you ever read that? We talked about different people at different intervals of life being hired. That a man had a vineyard and he was hiring people at different intervals of the day, and he was explaining or describing the kingdom of heaven similar to that in the 20th chapter. I love what it says in verse 15. There were those that were hired at the 11th hour. Can people get saved late in life? It can be a little harder for them. You know why it's harder? Because they picked up a lot of baggage along the way. A lot of preconceived notions and ideas. Satan has blinded their minds for years and years and years. But let me tell you something. God is bigger than the devil. Light is more powerful than darkness. All things are possible with God. And in these passages, Jesus taught that there were those that would get saved at the 11th hour and experience and enjoy all that those that had served the Lord all their life experienced and enjoyed. What I like about this, he clearly spelled out that it's his vineyard or it's his heaven. He can let in whomever he wants to. God is the one that does the saving. God is the one that shows mercy, and he's a good God. He says this in verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Well, those that are older sometimes develop hang-ups and hindrances. They might not just have one thing. They may have many things that keep them from the Lord. You've seen a lot of stuff. When you get old, you've seen things that confuse you. It doesn't make sense. The devil jumps on that. Listen, the devil is a liar. Amen. He is the father of lies. He is a murderer. He's been a murderer from the very beginning. He seeks to deceive you. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. And he's manipulated your mind and deceived you. And he's got you in a state of unbelief where you don't believe that God has the power to change you and save you and alter your life and transform you. Listen, the devil is a liar and the Bible is true. God wants to do a wonderful, amazing, marvelous work in your heart and life, but you have to believe Him. You must submit to Him. You have to surrender to Him. In order for that to happen, you may have all kinds of preconceived notions in your mind. You know, people sometimes, their hearts and minds are filled with heresies. They have false ideas about God. Amen? Your mind's all twisted. You're not thinking right. Your heart's not right and your mind's not right. You might question, well, is this doctrine true? Is that doctrine true? Is what this preacher says is right? Is what this other preacher says right? You know what you need to do? You need to go directly to God. Amen. Get your answers. Yeah. Yeah, you need to just go to God. You need to surrender your heart. If you're confused in your mind, the Lord can open your heart and He can help you understand the truth. Surrender to Him. Yield to Him. What is it that really keeps you among the damned? I preached a message a few years back, those that stand among the damned. And I preached on the sin of unbelief. There's people today that do not believe that God can change them. There are people today that do not believe that God has the power to alter them. Perhaps they picked up bad habits through the years. And they know that these things cannot be associated with Christianity. And the devil has caused them to think that they can't change. Listen, God can change you. And many people stand in a state of unbelief. They deny and they denounce and they don't believe that God can change them. The Bible actually says in 1 John 5 and 10, he that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. But he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. You don't believe that God can change you, that God can save you, that God can make a Christian out of you. You're saying God is a liar because God says He can. God has declared over and over again that He can make a new creation out of you. And you need to receive the end of your faith, as Peter said, the salvation of your soul. Can God really bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? He sure can. And He wants to do that with you. All right. Jesus said it's possible. Does everybody in here believe it's possible for anybody to be saved? Yeah. With God, it's possible. You can't save yourself, but God can save you. He can change you. He can rearrange your heart and mind and life. You can leave here a born-again believer in Jesus, but you've got to come to Him. Not us, but you've got to come directly to God. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a verse of some song. I want to pray with you. But you're going to pray the prayer for yourself that saves. Amen. God wants to save. Jesus came to save. Who can be saved? Who can be saved? You can be saved with God's help. Amen. You can leave here born again of the Spirit of God. There can be a new life in you that hadn't been there before. God can save you.